Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda for Friday, January 15th, 2016. Episode 11.20, the Divisional Round Preview Show. People, I am ecstatic. Los Angeles has a football team once again. I cannot wait. The Rams are coming back to town. And after 21 years of no football in Los Angeles, this season, 2016, we'll see a team play in L.A. again. Very nice. Now the playoffs have kicked off with a bang. Last week, as wild card week had all kinds of craziness, now only 8 teams remain. I will, of course, go over the 4 divisional round games in a minute, but first, a little bit of NFL news, as all teams have hired coaches except the Tennessee Titans, where they may stay in-house. I'll let you know a little bit about that. First things first about last week's wild card weekend, the first time in the history of the NFL that all 4 road teams won since the league went to the playoff format in 1990. That's why I thought Richard was a little crazy when he took all 4 roadies, but of course, Seattle and Pittsburgh got plenty of help. I'll talk about all of that, but let's chomp it in!
Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves.
All right, people, welcome back wherever you are in this great big world of ours. Thank you for tuning in again. Listen, folks, here is the deal. There's been all kinds of craziness going on. I cannot believe I wasn't able to get a wild card show up. So even though this is last minute, it's pretty late and probably won't get up till Saturday morning before the games, I wanted to get back and talk to you about the wild card weekend and the divisional games that are coming up later this weekend. Let's take a look at that wild card weekend. First off, the Chiefs over the Texans. Kansas City was way too much for Houston. Houston, we have a problem. And the problem is you have absolutely no defense. And it appears to me, no offense. And it appears to me that you really don't care. You went again, you got Clowney in the draft, and you pay J.J. Watt absurd amounts of money. And that's all right. I'm not saying that J.J. does not deserve that money. J.J. is an extraordinary football player. However, in this wild card game, he was irrelevant. All right? And I mean, literally, he was irrelevant. He was not a big part of the game. I think he recorded 1 tackle, I believe, in the entire game. He's down for, and it wasn't even a solo tackle. It was an assisted tackle. That, in the stat line, is what you got for your $100 million player, J.J. Watt. You got 1 assist of a tackle. That's it, okay? Clowney, I believe, didn't even make it onto the field. I think at the end of the week, he wasn't available because he was injured again. You're spending all this money on the defensive side of the ball, and when it comes to the playoff times, you put a big fat 0 goose egg on the board. Brian Hoyer was horrific, absolutely imploded in these playoffs. He was 15 of 34 for 136 yards, no touchdowns, 4, that's right, 4 INTs. He also fumbled the ball away, he fumbled the ball twice, one of which was recovered by Kansas City. You're not going anywhere where you have an offense that can't produce. You're not going anywhere until you decide as an organization, I am going to spend some money at the quarterback position. We're going to throw some money there. We're going to go find a legitimate, viable candidate to be our franchise quarterback and lead our offense effectively and efficiently. I'm going to go back to the beginning of the season where the first thing out of the head coach's mouth on Hard Knocks was, people are making fun of our quarterbacks, and that's got to stop. We got to show them that these guys are legit. And then you start the season with Hoyer, immediately pull him from Mallett. Then you pull him back for Hoyer. And then there was this kind of like little carousel thing until you finally just stuck with Hoyer. That just shows me that you weren't even believing what you were talking about when the season started, and you were telling your coaching staff that you wanted to show that these quarterbacks were legit. You don't have a legit quarterback. When you have first and goal from the 2-yard line and your first play is to bring in J.J. Watt to be your quarterback and try to run it in for a touchdown and he gets stuffed, that shows me you don't have a quarterback. Houston, take some free advice here. Go out and find yourself a legitimate quarterback to lead your football team. Your defense is pretty good. They kept you in the game for a little while until they just ran out of gas. They couldn't hold on because their offense was out, three and out, three and out, three and out. And eventually that just wears out your defense. And that's what happened. Defense is pretty good. It's going to keep you in some ball games. Go out and spend some money on the offensive side of the ball, please, because Hoyers and Mallets and Whedon's and those guys are not going to get it done for you. That's all I have to say about Houston. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals. Oh, man, what a game. What craziness there. Pittsburgh wins the game 18-16 in a game that looked like it was Cincinnati's to win. Ben Roethlisberger had gotten injured on a sack. He was sitting out. And in comes Landry Jones. He throws an interception. Vontaze Burfict picks it off. And you think, oh, my God, it's over. Well, not so fast. You're the Cincinnati Bengals. Jeremy Hill fumbles on the very next possession. They bring Ben Roethlisberger back in the game. He then starts leading a nice little drive. Then there is the horrible Vontaze Burfict hit on Antonio Brown, and I will apologize to Antonio Brown in a minute. There's an ensuing scuffle. Pac-Man Jones gets into it with an official because Joey Porter, the assistant coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers, is out on the field talking trash, and he's over there trying to tell the official, hey, you got this coach out here in the middle of the field talking smack to us. Why isn't there not a flag? He bumps into official. The official throws a flag, and it's on Pac-Man Jones. So that gives the Steelers 30 free yards, puts them in chip shot field goal range. They kick a field goal. They win the game 18-16. Now, back to me saying that I need to apologize to wide receiver Antonio Brown. Even before I heard Pac-Man Jones say that he thought AB was faking it, I actually tweeted out, I was like, oh my God, that was such a flop. He flopped. It looked to me like he flailed his arms and his head back and kind of like was like, hey, look at me, I just got hit, throw the flag. And it did appear to me as if he was faking it and it was a big flop. It looked like that in the moment, although people were saying, oh, he got hit. I'm like, yeah, I saw that he got hit, shoulder pad to the head, but it didn't look like it was fierce enough to knock him out and make him flail around like he just did. But it turns out he is still going through the concussion protocol. He is not passed. He has been ruled out for this weekend's game against the Denver Broncos. So I apologize. I like Pac-Man Jones thought that he was faking it to draw the flag. And it turns out that he did get concussed. So there you go, folks. You can't always tell what is going on the field unless you're there. I hope Antonio Brown gets better. And unfortunately for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think they're going to miss him against the Denver Broncos. So it's tough for what happened in the game. Those 15 yards should have totally been given. I have a problem with the 15 yards that were awarded for the Pac-Man Jones brushing up against the referee when what was clearly happening was Joey Porter was out there trying to incite exactly what he did. He got the extra 15 yards that he wanted. I just don't know why there's an assistant coach all the way out in the middle. I know assistant coaches come out to the field, and coaches come out to the field, but about 3-4 yards. And if there's an injury, there is the head coach that walks out along with all the trainers that walk out there to go take care of the player that's injured. But you don't have an assistant coach coming out all the way almost to the other side of the field in a group with, you know, three, four opponents, players, talking to them. You just don't ever see that. And he wasn't just talking to them. He was, you know, playing some lip service. He was drawing at them. And that just wasn't acceptable. That drew a flag, I think, that kind of gave the – because without that flag, it's still a 48, 49, 50-yard field goal. That second 15-yard penalty got them really close, and the Pittsburgh Steelers won the game. Good for them. Bad for the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that they were in position to probably win their first playoff game under Marvin Lewis. And Marvin Lewis has to take a good, hard look at himself and say, how in the world did I allow these guys to get that out of control late in the game that we had won? And they definitely had that game won. So that was the challenge game. I took Cincinnati. Richard took the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, oh, my God, Graves is on fire this year. He is – I'm going to play this for him because if I don't play this for them, he will cry and he will send me texts and I'll get in trouble. So this is for Richard Graves.
I am the smartest man alive.
Sky Sports News, the NFL pundit there for SSN. Richard is won his fourth challenge game this season against me. That's pretty crazy. Albeit, of course, with the help of the refs, you know, Seattle also needed a chippy field goal to get missed for him to win that one. But he went 4-0. He took all four road teams. I'd never seen that happen, and so I didn't take all four road teams for that specific reason. And I really thought Cincinnati would take care of Pittsburgh. And like I said, I really think they had that game up until they it got kind of crazy there at the end. But that's that. Seattle over Minnesota. You know, that game was like, oh, my God, where was the offense? And then these first three games, Texans, home team, shut out in the first half. It was, I think, 13-0 at halftime of the Chiefs-Texans game. Steelers-Bengals shut out in the first half. That game was 6-0 in the first half. And then Seattle over Minnesota, I think the Vikings had a 3-0 lead at halftime. So there was not a whole lot of offense going on in those first three games. Seattle, I think, got away with one. That was their sneaky, sneaky win. They go into Carolina and play how they did last week against the Vikings. They're going to get stomped. So I don't think that happens. I think they kind of got it all out of their system. They'll be ready for Carolina, and they get the win over Minnesota. Minnesota's just got to be sick to their stomach that their field goal kicker missed a chippy 27-yarder at the end of regulation to give Seattle the win. And finally, the final game of wild card, the Green Bay Packers over the Washington Redskins. I think the Washington Redskins, you know, they had a lead in this football game. They were taking care of business. And then a couple of mistakes by Cousins, an interception there that kind of jump-started the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers seemed to have get back into a little bit of a groove, and he is he was one of the big reasons why Green Bay beat Washington. The final in that game was the Green Bay Packers 35, Washington Redskins 18, and it was just it became a beatdown in the second half. I mean, Green Bay did have a lead 17 to 11 at halftime, but it wasn't that big of a lead. It wasn't insurmountable. In the third and fourth quarter, they ran away with it, though, and just showed that they were the better team on that day. I think Green Bay got lucky with their kind of the way things kind of lined up with them not winning the division. I think had they won the division and hosted Seattle, I think it would have been an entirely different wild card weekend. And I think Minnesota going into Washington probably would have gotten a victory. But that's what happened. That's one game. The final game of the season decided that Green Bay goes to Washington. Minnesota stays at home and brings in Seattle. And I think the two wrong teams won there. But that's the way it happens sometimes in the NFL. Okay, once again, congratulations to Richard Graves and the fans. My lead over the fans in the challenge games has slipped to just one game, so I got to be perfect. And the crazy thing is that Jeremy and I, we differ on two games this weekend. I'll tell you right now real quick. Jeremy Parker, a good friend of the show, is making the picks for the fans this week. Jeremy has decided to do something kind of crazy and risky again, which makes me nervous. He's taking all home teams. And not only are they all home teams, they're all the favorites. And that makes me nervous, people. It makes me nervous because that just doesn't happen on them. I've got two road teams in this. I think those games can go either way, really. And I'm not really sure about one of them. I'm kind of sticking to my guns. And in this, I thought the team was gonna make it back to the Super Bowl, so I'm gonna go with them. I'm not sure now. I am not sure. I may just change my pick right now. But let's get to it. Right before we get to the divisional games, quickly, I just want to talk about all of the coaches that have been hired in the NFL. We'll start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They hired from within. They promoted their offensive coordinator, Dick Cutter, to their head coach. Team source confirmed that. So congratulations to Dick. I'm not sure what the whole getting rid of Lovie Smith entailed. I feel bad for Coach Lovie Smith. I don't think he got a fair shake. I think he did a very decent job with what players he had there. He kind of had his team being competitive. But for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to get rid of the head coach but then promote the offensive coordinator has me kind of scratching my head there a little bit. But Dick Cutter is your coach there in Tampa Bay. And the Philadelphia Eagles, although they haven't officially made it official, Ian Rappaport of NFL.com is reporting that the Eagles will be hiring Doug Peterson, the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs. Because the Chiefs are still in the playoffs, they can't make it official. But as soon as the Chiefs season is over, they will make it official that Doug Peterson will be their head coach. The San Francisco 49ers took the Eagles ex-head coach and hired Chip Kelly. They have announced that former head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Chip Kelly, will be their new head coach. This happens after they fired Jim Tom Zula after just one season. Wait, who was that again? Jim Tom Zula, who they hired for just 1 year. That's right, 1 year after they went 5-11. He didn't really get set up there for success, but he got out, and in comes Chip Kelly.
Tamazula, Trambia. What the hell's a Trambia?
That fired coach over there. That's right. Tom Zula is out. Chip Kelly is in San Francisco. All right, the New York Giants also have made hiring. They hired offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo. McAdoo becomes the head coach. He was the OC under Tom Coughlin, and when Coughlin resigned after the season ended, okay, we're calling it resigned, sure, the Giants decided to promote from within and brought up Ben McAdoo. I think the reason they did that is I think the Eagles, they got wind that the Eagles and the Browns might be interested in McAdoo, and they said, nope, you're not taking him away from us, and they got their guy. The Cleveland Browns went old school. They have hired Hugh Jackson as their new head coach. The Browns fired, you know, they kind of clean house. They got rid of Ray Farmer, the GM. They got rid of Mike Pettine, the head coach. And they're bringing in Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson was the offensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they wanted to bring in an offensive mind. Cleveland's got a pretty good defense. It wasn't all that bad. They didn't get, like, blown out. They didn't give up a whole lot of points, but they just didn't have an offense that couldn't put up points. They hope that Hugh can bring his offensive mind to the Cleveland Browns and get it done. My only problem with this hire is that we've kind of seen Hugh Jackson. We've been there. We've done that. I don't think that the Cleveland Browns have the players in-house to fit the offense that Hugh Jackson's going to want to run. You know, they have to decide what they're doing at the quarterback position. Is he going to come in and try and, you know, maybe build up Johnny Football and be a Manziel guy? Because the one thing that is clear with Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine, they were never on the same page with Johnny Manziel and what to do with him. I think the first thing that the Cleveland Browns are going to do with they brought in Sashi Brown to be the vice president of football operations. They went to the baseball world and brought in Paul DePodesta as their chief strategy officer. And now Hugh Jackson. They're going to have to get all those guys on the same page about their personnel and what to do with Johnny Manziel. That's, I think, the first thing they all got to come together and agree with as a whole is, what do we do with Johnny Manziel? If that's not the guy, then we got to go out and find our guy at the quarterback position. We got to probably bring in a stud running back. We got to go out and try and find a stud wide receiver because the whole Dwayne Bowe thing didn't really work out. Let's get some offensive players here to bring some style and some pizzazz to the Cleveland Browns offensively and see if we can win some football games. Then probably the final coaching hire that kind of had me scratching my head, the Miami Dolphins. They got rid of Philbin earlier in the year. They brought in Dan Campbell to be the interim. They decided Dan wasn't the guy for them. Dan actually has since now left the Miami Dolphins. And the Miami Dolphins decided to hire Chicago Bears offensive coordinator Adam Gase. Now, that's great for Gase, but is it really good for the Miami Dolphins? This is a guy who last year with the Chicago Bears, who did have some talented players around their offense, was only able to lead that offense to be the 21st overall offense and the 23rd offense in points scored. Those numbers aren't fantastic, yet it's getting him a head coaching job with the Miami Dolphins. I don't understand that at all. But good luck there, Miami fans. Other places that we thought might see some coaching changes, the San Diego Chargers keeping Mike McCoy. Indianapolis Colts stuck with Chuck Pagano, gave him a contract extension for 4 years. The Detroit Lions decided that they're going to stick with Jim Caldwell at least for another season, and Sean Payton will stay put and remain the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. That just leaves the Tennessee Titans. Here's Mike Mularkey, who was the interim coach there for Tennessee. It looks like that he's going to stay as the head coach, and the word coming out of Tennessee is that it's his job to lose. Not sure. I know the team. They interviewed Doug Marrone. Remember Marrone? Yeah, remember that guy. That he is possible, the guy, but they haven't really hired anyone. But they haven't really announced that Mike Mularkey doesn't get promoted yet either. So that's still the only team that does not have a head coach. It's time. It's time to get to the divisional round. So let's get to it. Divisional round. I don't know if you all remember, Jeff always used to say this is his favorite football weekend of the year because the Super Bowl is just one day on Sunday, and next week the championship games are just one day on Sunday, but this is the full weekend, two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday. Let's start with the Saturday games. We'll start with the first early game on Saturday, which puts the Kansas City Chiefs at New England to play the New England Patriots. Now, right off the bat, Jeremy, as you already know, is taking the home teams. He's got New England. This is what he says. He says it's a difficult call. I think this could go either way. New England at home, but also have injury concerns. Although with Jeremy Maclin questionable for Kansas City and Edelman improving for New England, maybe New England are getting healthier at the right time. He says he was impressed. I was impressed with Kansas City when I was on the sideline at Wembley. For those of you who don't know, Jeremy got to work the chain gang for the Wembley games this year. That was pretty cool for him. He says, I also got a playful smack on the fanny by head coach Andy Reid. Really? Reid was smacking fannies in London? Man, I missed that. But he says, thinks New England's home field advantage will be decisive. New England wins. He's taking the Patriots. I disagree. I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs. What I saw last week from Kansas City is that they're coming to play. Andy Reid's got this team focused. That defense is playing balls out. I am telling you, they are on fire. They are going to get after Tom Brady. Yes, I know Gronkowski's playing. Yes, I know that Edelman is back. But Edelman hasn't been on a football field for 9 weeks. That's a long time, man. You think you could sit out for 9 weeks and come back and just be right on fire, be right on edge. You got another thing coming if you think you can do that. I think that Kansas City will neutralize Gronkowski. Just like basically Kansas City's been doing throughout the season, taking away the top receiver for the opponent team. Did you see D-Hop last week? Hopkins very, very much got neutralized for the Houston Texans. Didn't do much in that bull ball game. I think they'll neutralize Edelman. They'll play Gronkowski tough. Remember, Gronkowski's going to be injured. They're going to put it on Tom Brady to find other people to beat them with. I just don't think Tom Brady has those other people in place. They're going to get after Tom. He's going to take some hits. And I don't think that Jeremy Maclin is the big be-all, end-all of the Kansas City offense. I'm going to take the Chiefs. That is going to be my upset special. And because we may agree on all the other games, this might have to be the challenge game. Makes me nervous. I know that there are a couple people out there listening to this and my pick, and they're just calling. They say, Steve's a hater. Steve's a hater. I'm not a hater. I have come to appreciate and understand what the New England Patriots are. I just don't think this is their season. I think injuries finally caught up to them. The next man up, just do your job thing. It's kind of run out, and I think Kansas City's a turn to move and take a step forward. And trust me, there's a team that doesn't want to see Kansas City win this game, and that's the Denver Broncos, okay? Because Kansas City has played Denver hard, beat them once, should have beat them that first game. It's going to be interesting. I got Kansas City. I think they're good to the championship game, and New England will get knocked out. That being said, I won't chop it in as the challenge game just yet. We'll get to the next Saturday game, the night game, 8:15 Eastern time on NBC. The Green Bay Packers travel to Arizona to face the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona currently is favored by 7.5. Woo, that's a big number. That's a big number. But I think, you know, the last time these two teams played, it was Arizona 38, Green Bay 8. So that, you know, says, okay, maybe it will be a touchdown. I don't know. I still think that's a little high. But Jeremy and I both have the Arizona Cardinals to win. Let's see what Jeremy says. Jeremy says, I don't think it's Green Bay's year. Arizona's a better team, and they're at home. Green Bay's offensive line is poor. Don't think they have the running game to make up for Aaron Rodgers being compromised and being pressured all night. Arizona's the better team, and that is all that needs to be said. I agree with him. Arizona has been some kind of special this season. They had a couple of down games. I think they lost to Seattle in blowout fashion, and everybody was like, huh? It was a kind of a head-scratcher. I don't really think Arizona was into that game. I think they saw the scoreboard, saw that Carolina was dominating, and they were going to get first number one seed anyways, kind of pulled back a little bit, didn't want to show Seattle anything in case they needed to play Seattle again in the playoffs. I think Arizona's going to be fine. They will take care of business. They will take care of Green Bay, and that's all I've got to say. I mean, Green Bay looked pretty good against Washington, but the Arizona Cardinals' defense is not the Washington Redskins' defense. I like Green Bay, Arizona to take care of Green Bay at home. So those are the games on Saturday. We'll move on to Sunday's games. We'll start in Seattle, where the Seattle Seahawks travel to Carolina to face the Carolina Panthers. We know Jeremy's got the Panthers already. Let's see what he has to say. He says, I think this is a game where Seattle's luck runs out. Carolina's my pick for Super Bowl winners. Think Carolina are more versatile, resilient, and capable of closing out a tight game. Carolina wins. Now, this is the one game where I thought Seattle and the NFC was going to get back to the plan, to get back to the Super Bowl, to try and make it three in a row. However, last week's game against the Minnesota Vikings left a lot of doubt in my mind. I don't think that they're playing the best football offensively. Defensively, I still think they're tough. It's going to be tough for Carolina to score points. Do I stick with Seattle or do I go with Carolina? I may change this tomorrow. I may change this on Sunday before the game. Or tomorrow before the Saturday games. I don't know. I've got Seattle right now. Jeremy's got Carolina. I just don't think all four home teams are going to get it done. I've already got New England losing. I'm going to go with Carolina. Changing to Carolina right now. We just decided. So both Jeremy and I have the Panthers. Carolina should get it home. They've been getting it done. They're 15-1 for a reason. They know how to win football games. I think they will get it done. So the final game puts the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Denver Broncos. Jeremy has Denver. Before I go in there, you know, it's once again the fact that Antonio Brown is not available for this football game makes me sad. I want a team to be there at the end with all their guys, you know, with the guys that helped get them there. And Antonio Brown was one of the big reasons why the Pittsburgh Steelers are in the playoffs right now. And for the fact that he's not going to be there against Denver is going to hurt. Ben Roethlisberger's hurting with the shoulder. Denver's getting Peyton Manning back healthy. I think Denver's going to roll. Let's see what Jeremy has to say. He says, is Big Ben fit? I don't think so. Even if he is at the start of the game, I think he will struggle to finish at 100%. And they're missing Antonio Brown and D'Angelo Williams. Manning returns to where he should be. I think he has a point to prove and is desperate for another ring. Mile High is also an advantage. Denver win. Those are all great points by Jeremy. I got to stand by that. And like I said, the fact that Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams and a banged-up Ben Roethlisberger are in this game, that's the bad point. That's the bad point about this game. There's too many injuries on the Pittsburgh Steelers side. Denver's defense is going to get all after Ben, and Ben may not even finish the game. So we like Denver there. So here's the deal. We both have Arizona, Carolina, and Denver. Jeremy has New England. I have Kansas City. That, by default, makes it the challenge game. Come on, Chiefs. Come on, Andy Reid. Come on, Alex Smith. Do not let me down. Do not let me down, because if this gets tied with just the championship game and the Super Bowl to go, oh, my God. Oh, my God. The craziness. The craziness of it all. All right. Thank you very much for listening. However you're listening, whether you're streaming or downloading or wherever you are, appreciate you coming back. Football's in L.A., baby. Football is in L.A., I am very excited about that. It's going to be really, really cool. I'm Stephen Branda. You've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm out.